Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this March 1st, 2023, 10:06 on the clock. You have your host, James J. Maloff, here. We are joined today by some of our friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Operations Captain Charlie Hugestager. Yep. Terry was even helping me with it beforehand, and I got a little close. I got halfway there, and I lost my confidence. Hugestager, thank you for being here. We appreciate the time, Charlie. And we also have with us Patrol Lieutenant Scott Sager. Good morning, Scott. Thank you both for being here so much today. I also want to say a big shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, Taylor and the gang over there. We say good morning to, and thanks for being here. Be sure to type into your search bar on YouTube, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page, keep up with the great work that they're doing over there. So gentlemen, thanks again for being here today. We got plenty to talk about, but what I like to do whenever we have a chance, and Sean and I have talked about this for many years, is any opportunity to show the human being behind the badge, to humanize our officers, to humanize positions and jobs, that we just have kind of gotten away from that a little bit in society with the rise of keyboard cowards and these kind of things. We want to build that gap better and make it stronger. And so that leads me to put you guys on the spot and make you talk about yourselves, something no police officer or sheriff or anybody likes doing. But I got to make you do it a little bit here. And I'm actually going to start with you, Mr. Sager, because you haven't joined us before, and I wanted to get to know you a little bit. So if you can tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and why you chose this field.
Sure. Again, my name is Scott Sager. I'm the patrol lieutenant currently.
Sager. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry.
Sager, all my life, right? My current position is a patrol lieutenant at the Sheriff's Department. I've worked here at the Sheriff's Department since 2005. Prior to that, I worked for the Town of Rome Police Department in Adams County. Started down there in 1998 full-time. Just backing up and behind there, I was born and raised in Wisconsin Rapids. Still currently live in the area, in the county here. Started my, career in law enforcement by volunteering for the auxiliary police departments with the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department and the Town of Rome Auxiliary. Started school at Mid-State Technical College, got my associate degree in police science at the time it was called. Cool. Now it's criminal justice. I got hired with Wood County Reserve Program in the early 90s. Kind of dating myself here a little bit.
Yeah, no, but we all are, trust me. Everybody but Taylor, probably. Yeah.
After school, had some side full-time jobs until positions opened up. I kind of wanted to stay in the area here. I liked, this is the area that I've known, I guess, all my life, and I wanted to stay in the area. I've got a lot of family and friends in the area. Got hired full-time, with the Town of Rome Police Department in 98, and came here to Wood County in 2005. So since I've been here at Wood County, I've started as a deputy, got involved with the FTO program as a field training officer. As a little bit of time went on, also got on to the special response team. Some people known it as SWAT, but special response team. Became a FTO coordinator, kind of ran our FTO program with all of our new hires coming in and their day-to-day operations. And when we'd have someone retire and kind of change another guard type of a say, since then, took an investigation promotion, did investigations for 4 years. Since then, after the 4 years of investigations, did the patrol lieutenant promotion came up. We had a few openings, and I was fortunate to receive one of the patrol lieutenant positions. So I've been doing that for the last 8 years, and still love doing my job. I still can get out in the community, meet people, talk with people. Part of it is my job is still in the office, administrative things, whether it's scheduling or, payroll or, future trainings for officers to go to, And just day-to-day operations, approving, you know, paperwork and things like that.
For those who don't know, the patrol lieutenant's position and everything, you're getting into it a little bit of it there. Are there other details you think people would find interesting or you think it'd be good for people to know about your job and insightful to the position?
It's kind of a job where you're inside and outside of the department. It's kind of the best of both worlds. It does give you the opportunity to, like I say, you know, be in the community and talk and, you know, hear people's problems and help them out in crisis. It just gives you that chance to not be locked down inside an office every single day. So it's kind of a sweet spot in the department, to be very honest with you. It just gives me that latitude to still interact with people outside of the agency often enough. And sometimes it's just a day in the office, you know, catching up on paperwork. So.
It sounds like it still means a lot to you to be able to be in the field, be out in the public and everything.
Absolutely.
Was that a big reason why you chose this field, why you wanted to do this job?
Yeah, absolutely. It was. I didn't figure it out until about halfway through my senior year of high school that this is what I wanted to do. I ended up speaking with a couple officers that were close to retirement at the time, and some of them were trying to talk me out of coming into the profession. Talking with other officers, it just seemed to be piqued my interest. Finally, I think I, at that time, found a niche in what I wanted to do in my career, and it just it gave me that opportunity to, you know, help people out, and anything I could contribute and give back to my community is the way that I looked at it, and haven't turned back since. So
right on, and I can hear the passion is still there. That's really cool to hear. For anybody in the job for a long period of time, you always hope that fire can stay burned. I can hear that it's still in you. That's cool to hear. And really appreciate the service. Appreciate everything you've done for our state, for our communities and everything. It's also, there's a couple of things that were kind of noteworthy to me there, Scott. One, you mentioned that you get out of school and you're looking for a job in this area. I don't think we think about this very often with this job. What I do in radio, a lot of this happens in radio where you graduate and then you don't know where you're going. You're going wherever the job is available and you hope to get back to your stomping grounds or something like that eventually in your career. Sure. I don't think we think about that with police officers or you know, in that field very often, but that can be that field as well, where you're going where their jobs. I think that's interesting.
Absolutely. For me, and similar to Scott, where you grow up, I mean, you have a lot of ties. You have your family here, your friends here, and I think that's probably one of the most rewarding things for me personally, being in this field, is the involvement that you get to have with the community. You take pride in your community.
Yeah.
Anything you can do to help it out is really important to you. I enjoy, I know we've talked before, coaching youth sports with my kids, helping them out, getting to build those relationships with their friends and some of their older and younger classmates, and creating that positive relationship between law enforcement and the youth of our community.
Yeah. Since we got you talking, Charlie, let's go ahead and continue that a little bit. And I know you've joined us before, but just kind of similar to what Scott was doing there, if you can give us a little of your background and the job that you're doing and what that job entails.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not quite as old as Scott, but I'm getting up there as well. I began my law enforcement career. My first position was with the Wood County Reserve Program. I got hired there in 2006. Moving back a little bit, I graduated from Nakusa High School in 1999. So I've been a county resident my entire life, with the exception of going to college. I went to Eau Claire, got my bachelor's in criminal justice from there, which I don't know if Sheriff Becker is listening, but it's definitely better than Point. So had to get that in there. Moving forward, came back home, went to Mid-State for the Recruit Academy. My first full-time job after being hired with the reserves was with the Adams County Sheriff's Department. Worked there for about a year, and then got hired in my hometown of Nakusa. Worked there for just shy of 4 years, and then got hired on with the Sheriff's Department in 2010. Since then, I've held patrol deputy. I've been involved with the special response team as a negotiator and also as a sniper. Held a couple different positions with that, to include the lead sniper, to help coordinate some trainings, things like that, as well as negotiator trainings. EVOC instructor. I teach people how to drive, even though my wife says I can't. and then at the same time, Scott was promoted to patrol lieutenant. I also was fortunate enough to get a position during that promotional process. And then about 2 years ago now, had the opportunity to put in for operations captain and was fortunate enough to get selected for that.
What do you think is interesting, or you think the audience would find interesting or good to know about being an operations captain, about the position you do?
Well, I always kind of joke around like I'm not a cop anymore because I sit behind a desk a lot, do a lot of the office stuff. But I am able to get out, and I do get out and interact with the public. Not quite as much as Scott does, but it's very rewarding getting out and interacting, whether it be youth or different civic groups that we get to be involved with. And like I said earlier, I think the most interesting part is getting to work with the community. It's rewarding, and we have I'm actually going through a training right now. It's a 6-week training through UW-Madison, and a lot of the stuff that we talk about is giving back to the community and helping them out. And we have to, part of our project is we have to make like a video, a little snippet, and that's ultimately what I'm going to be focusing on is that community involvement. Anything that you can do to better your community, volunteer, get involved, that's very important.
Yeah, well said. Charlie, I don't want to pry here, so please tell me if I am, but are you a parent? Are you a dad?
Absolutely. I have three kids.
I thought for certain that you were, because I don't know many people that haven't been in the sniper realm or in that world that don't have, like, unremarkable patience, like what it takes. So it's good to hear that you've been able to use some of that for parenting, hopefully.
Absolutely.
That's a fascinating position and skill set to me, and I've only known a couple of people that have done similar things to that in the military and that, but how has having that background helped you currently, like in today, like in the job that you're doing right now?
I think a lot of it, one particular thing would be like your attention to detail. Depending on what role you're at with a sniper position, you have to really pay attention. If it's you're doing surveillance or something like that on a target or whatever the case may be, you really have to pay attention. You have to stay focused, kind of stepping a little bit away from that. I've listened to several podcasts, and Chris Kyle, one of the I guess American Sniper, if you will, he had talked about, and some of his commanders had talked about why he was so good, and it was because that was his job. When he was, whether he was deployed over, in the Middle East or whatever the case was, he sat behind that scope and he didn't move for hours. Yeah. Whereas some of the other ones that were maybe not as good, they'd sit and look for 10, 15 minutes and then be like, okay, what's going on?
Right.
Maybe they take their focus off. Yeah. But he sat behind that scope for hours and hours and hours, and that was his only job. So now I'm not saying I'm anywhere near that caliber, but paying attention to detail is important, and especially when it comes to kids, when I apply it to my family life, looking at the kids and, maybe there's a sniffle or something. You just pick up on little things. Or last night we were going to go to a basketball game, and my son, all of a sudden, he had his kind of a weird look. I said, "What's wrong?" He goes, "Nothing." And then he snapped out of it, and he's like, "Oh, what's going on?" And he's like, "Oh, I was watching TV. My eyes are dry." I said, okay, no, you watch TV for hours and hours. Yeah. So, obviously you pick up on little things like that. And here he had a little headache, and I'm like, okay, I don't think we should go to the game. We're going to go to bed early and get an ice pack. And he's like, yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Right on. I appreciate you sharing all that, both of you, especially because one of the purposes of a show like this is certainly to get information out there to people and all that. But there are younger people out there listening as well and in similar positions to like maybe you were in, Scott, where they're on the fence or they're not sure where to go with their career. They hear some of this stuff and like, well, I'm really good at paying attention to detail. I happen to notice these kind of things, and maybe it spurs something in them to get into this industry. We can always use more great young blood into our law enforcement industry. And that's cool to hear, but it's also just insightful, like just interesting to hear too. And the the connection that people make with that job to their own, with their own day-to-day life or something. Again, like finding these connections with jobs or that we have more in common than not and those kind of things. And that's a really good note on that. I wanted to also talk about the Wood County Reserve program that you mentioned there, mm-hmm. Charlie. I think that's a really interesting program, and I don't think we get a chance to talk about that very often or address what it is. Maybe there's people out there listening who don't even know what the program is. Do you mind if we touch on that just a second?
Absolutely. So our reserve program is a part-time program. You know, depending, and typically the hours that those deputies would be working are during the summer. They spend a lot of time in our county parks, whether it be North Park, South Park, Dexterville, and they kind of interact a lot of times for people that are outside of the area, and even some of the local people that use our campgrounds. They're kind of the face of our department. Yeah. They get to interact with the public during their patrols through the campground, and 99% of the time, it's a very positive interaction. You know, I've seen them play catch with kids, play basketball. One of our other patrol lieutenants, Nathan Dean, actually partnered up with some of our part-time deputies and did kind of an event in the campgrounds where they would come together and have s'mores and interact at a more of a personal level and you know, a few more law enforcement personnel just to get to know them. You said, see the person behind the badge.
Yeah.
So that's important. They also do. Sometimes they'll go to like River Kings. Maybe they want personnel there for. An extra. I don't want to say like security because there's a threat or something, but just to have them there.
Yeah.
We help out with Wisconsin Rapids High School or Lincoln High School for prom or homecoming or graduation sometimes, depending on what their needs are. We also help out with other communities, Auburndale, primarily with some of their events as well. You'll see them at Polar Plunge. You'll see them at, the radar races out by Anchor Bay. So really, it's kind of a community position. They get to be out there, interact with them in a positive light, and it's rarely a negative because we've developed that program probably in the 90s is when it started, I'm guessing, Scott?
Yeah, even before, I think even into the 80s.
80s?
The last I remember.
And it was primarily to keep, I don't want to say bring order back, but there were some events that we had issues with, and the reserve program was developed, and now those events go off without a hitch. I mean, they're very, very good, very positive events, and our reserve program has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, and it again, for a program that's been around this long, I feel like a bad journalist not asking this question sooner and everything, because it's a very interesting, cool program that has put a lot of good into our community. Mm-hmm. The types of officers that work that, are they usually starting out? Is this usually like kind of a rite of passage, but a way that you first start out in the job in the field, or does it all types that are usually doing in the reserve program?
Primarily, a lot of them start out. This might be their first job.
Yeah.
We work closely with Mid-State Technical College, their 2-year program, and some of their recruit academies to get personnel hired. And like I said, both Scott and I started there. I bet if you look at our department roster, I would say there's probably 75%, if not more, that started out with our reserve program. And then they may have went to a different job, or they can't, and then they ended up coming back. But a lot of them do have experience in that program. As far as different walks of life, I mean, yes, we have some students that are fresh out of high school, going through the Recruit Academy or Mid-State with their 2-year program that get hired on. We've had people that have been on our reserve program for 10 years, and that's their involvement. They like to do the park stuff. We've had brain surgeons on our program that he just really enjoyed it, and he worked, I don't know how many years it was, and he was also worked with other sheriff's departments in the area. So it really depends.
Very cool.
It's a good way to get involved, and it's an interesting job.
It really sounds like it too, and it's a great way for especially those officers just starting out to get their feet wet, to get to not have to jump in the deep end maybe right away, but kind of getting in, wading into the water a little bit more, and not just for the job and the field and all the different things that you have to know being an officer, but for the community to get to know them as well, and having that opportunity, having something like that in our area. I don't think it's a coincidence that you have something like that, and you have an area that is so has such a great relationship with their law enforcement. Not every area has something like we do here in Wood County in this area here, and I don't think that's a coincidence those two things have existed at that time.
Right.
I also think it's really noteworthy how out of the way, almost above and beyond all of our officers, and I'm thinking about the Sheriff's Department in particular, go to extend a hand, to send an olive branch, to do those things, to be a part of the Polar Plunge, to be at events that maybe it's not vital or necessary that you have to be there, but it's awfully cool to have you there. It's also good, it's great to see. I've talked about this before. I'm on the board at the Family Center, and I emceed their Men in the Kitchen event a couple of years ago, and I had never done this event before, and I showed up there, and the first people I see are Sheriff Becker and Chief Melvin, and it's great to have them there, that representation. Nothing was going wrong. We were all having a good time. There's no, you know, right. They didn't have to work, but having them there, their presence, even if they weren't in uniform, is noteworthy. It stands out. It shows that that where we are in society, where we stand on these things,
right.
It goes a lot farther than I think we realize too. The for the young people, the more they see adults, their parents interacting with you guys, the more they see this is an okay person. It's not that different than you interacting with your friends and stuff, and hey, this is an okay person. It's a very similar thing.
Right.
We'll take a quick commercial break right here. We'll come back. We'll have more conversation with the Wood County Sheriff's Department and Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine for this March 1st, 2023, 10:30 on the clock. We are speaking with our friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Operations Captain Charlie Hugestagger. All right. And Patrol Lieutenant Scott Sager. Thank you both for being here again. Appreciate Taylor and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media being here. I want to talk snowmobiling, a little bit of the trail situation right now, Charlie, with you, if you don't mind touching on that. We just got some news from the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department too about this morning. So
right, yeah. As of yesterday, there's a few trail systems that are closed yet. Kellner Knights closed, Rudolph River Rovers, and Sunset Drifters, just because of the conditions of the trails, the lack of snow in some of these areas. Portions of Vesper are also closed. The best way to get updated on that is to go to the Parks and Forestry Department website, which can be found at woodcountywi.gov, and then you can click on the appropriate department. As far as snowmobiling, I know this last batch of snow really helped out. I think almost every trail in the county were opened for at least a couple of days, and then some of them are still open yet. The biggest thing is, I always like to remind people to make sure you stay on the trails. Respect the landowners that allow the trails to go through their private property, because without them, the trail system in many counties, particularly Wood County, wouldn't happen. I don't know if you've noticed in the news lately, Northern Wisconsin, they've been having a lot of crashes up there.
Yeah.
I follow some of the Oneida County, Iron County, some of those counties here on Facebook, and you see a lot of them, and unfortunately, a lot of them have to do with alcohol and speed. You know what, if you're going to ride responsibly, make sure that you're following the safety rules and laws for in Wisconsin to make sure everybody gets home safely.
I don't think we could ever stress that enough. All those things you've mentioned there, it's really good, Charlie. Especially going back to the being smart, staying on the trails, respecting landowners. Terry and I were talking about this on the morning show. If these knuckleheads keep doing stuff like this, your snowmobile trip is going to be really short. Mm-hmm. You're going to just go in a circle. Right. And that's all you're going to have. It'll take 5 seconds and then you're done. Because it seems like, I know Sheriff Becker and I have been doing this and talking about this for years, and it seems like every year there's just more of this, or not, maybe not more of it, but it still continues to be a problem. And I'll admit, I don't know that much about snowmobiling, but I've done enough of it, and I understand enough of, like, especially in the Rome area, where there's like neighbors and friends of my Nan and Papa when they lived over there that would open up their land, and they'd talk about this. And even back then, when I'm a kid in the 80s, it was an issue. So it's always been an issue, but it seems like it's gotten, again, I don't want to say worse, but it's becoming more of a problem in recent years. And we really need people to kind of just act right, you know, just act like an adult, act like a person that just got earned that license to be able to drive that snowmobile. So I don't think it's a bad reminder to remind people these are not birthrights. This is not granted to you and everything. This right. is a privilege that we get to do these things. I think we forget some of this stuff from time to time. Like, having a driver's license is a privilege. It's not a birthright. Mm-hmm. Don't drink and drive. Don't drink and drive these machines. There's literally no excuse for it. None whatsoever. There's never a reason like, oh, but no, I can stop you right there. Nothing you could say after that is going to legitimize right. you doing this. So the safety of that is always important, and any chance we can touch on those things. It does seem like there has been a rise to that up north. I don't know if we've seen too much of it here in central Wisconsin, but I saw the same thing too, Charlie, and that took me back a little bit, because we've seen stories of people going off land, haven't seen the fatalities like this, sure. you know, on top of each other in the news like this cycle. So any chance to bring awareness to that, to touch on it? And are there things that you guys have seen, whether it's on patrol or just in your day-to-day lives of just being Wisconsinites and snowmobiling and that kind of thing, that you think, well, here's something that I don't think we touch on enough. Make sure to do this, everybody. You know, wearing a helmet, I think, is a big one. I don't see enough people wearing helmets. I think that's a big one. Sure. Stuff like that.
I don't snowmobile personally. I know Scott okay. does. The big thing, you know, and the clubs that are around that take care of the trails, they have club members that ride these trails to make sure that they're safe. And anytime that you go off the trail, the condition that you're riding on is unknown. There's a reason that the trails go where they're at. And like I said, they have club members that inspect and make sure there's no trees over them, make sure it's not going over, you know, thawed ground or areas that maybe there's some thin ice or something yeah. like that. So it's important to really stay on those trails. And I'll let Scott kind of touch base on his experience with riding in his personal life as well. Because like I said, I don't do it a lot. Mm-hmm. I've done it a couple times.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, some of the basic stuff, you know, like you said, it's not a birthright, it's a privilege, and just to be responsible when you are operating, it's real easy to get maybe throttle happy and speeds increase, and the darting that happens on a snowmobile, or the drifting from left to right as you're going across even a groomed trail at times, depending on how your snowmobile is maintained. Unpredictable things happen so quickly, and the faster that you go, the more chances of those happening. The simple blind hills and curves where, you know, especially daytime operation when you don't see any headlights coming at you, the first person, if you're in a pack of snowmobiles, maybe 3-4 of you riding together, which is not uncommon, right, mm-hmm. to go in a group. That way, if you have snowmobile problems or issues, you got somebody to help you out right away. Seeing that first snowmobile come around the curve and you're the first one in that stack leading your, you know, pack of friends or whatever it is, and not, you know, hugging the right side of the trail when you're coming around a blind curve or a hill. There's been a lot of near misses, even this calendar year. There's some Facebook feeds that you happen to catch a few of those on, that someone who was just in a nearby county and almost got hit by 3 or 4 snowmobiles going past them around a blind curve at real high speeds. You know, near misses, I'm talking within a couple inches, that could have even turned fatal, you know, if there would have been a head-on collision and just people operating recklessly. So just common sense stuff, you know, the curves and hills, just be mindful that there could be somebody coming around the other way at the same time. But otherwise, just the basic stuff too, you know, basic maintenance on your machine, something as simple as the front carbides, you know, the runners underneath the front skis, those keep you steering properly. Those wear out fast in the low snow conditions, or if you're doing a lot of road and parking lot crossings, maybe they wear away fast enough. But, you know, your current registration, and just like you would on your auto, having it licensed for the current year, and if you're at the minimum age, you have your snowmobile safety certificate class completed and your certificate certificate with you. Just things to make it fun and enjoyable when you are out there rather than something tragic and fatal.
Appreciate that, Scott. There's some really good notes there, man. That was some really good stuff. I appreciate that. You guys mentioned, I'm sorry, Charlie, you mentioned driving while intoxicated or something like that, drunk driving, whether it's on the snowmobile. And if you don't mind, I'm going to piggyback off of that a little bit because I'll admit here, journalistically, I have no, I am a little biased on this subject when it comes to drunk driving. I was in about 7-8 different accidents before I was 10 years old, and most of that was caused by other drunk drivers. My aunt was almost taken from us from a drunk driver, and completely her life was changed. And my youngest uncle was taken from us when he was a kid from a drunk driver. So I'm a little biased on this topic, and you know, just being honest with everybody about it. And I don't think I'm alone on that, and I don't think I should be alone on this one, because I would like to think that everybody feels this way about drunk driving, that there's no excuse, there's no reason for it, whether it's on a snowmobile, a bicycle, a vehicle, anything. But for most of my life, I've felt this way about it, and I've been almost borderline aggressive about it, and on the offense on it. But I've been trying more and more as I'm getting older to, well, why does this keep happening? Why do I see you know, stories on the news of a person with an eighth DWI and still has a driver's license? Like, oh, that doesn't seem to make any darn sense to me. Again, what I was just saying earlier, it's not a birthright. It's not like, well, I was born, so I get a driver's license. That's not how this works. And instead of kind of just like scolding people and telling them, no, don't do that, trying to figure out, well, why do they do this? And part of that stems from actually one of the first conversations I had with Sheriff Becker, and the idea of him talking about wanting to stop the revolving door of the repeat criminal. Why do people continue to commit crimes? What is going on there? Is it a mental health issue? Is it this issue? Is it that? Instead of just throwing cuffs on somebody, asking the question so that maybe I never see that person again. Maybe it isn't a revolving door and they do come back. So I think that whenever we have an opportunity to talk a little bit about this, about drunk driving of any type, I don't think it's a bad idea. And making it more of a, instead of a taboo in something that we scold, which we should do, piggybacking off of that scolding with asking why it's happening. For me, in the research I've done and seen, a lot of it stems from overconfidence of, well, I know how to write my name when I'm drunk. I'm sure I could drive. Like, you know, that kind of thing. A lot of it stems from that. Are there other things, that other factors that you guys see with this that maybe we can bring attention to, we can talk about and remind people? No, you can't still do it then. Like, I don't know. I just, you guys have been in this much more than I have, and see it from a different angle than I do. So I thought it'd be a good conversation piece.
Sure. I know. I think you kind of hit a part of the nail on the head as far as, well, that's not going to happen to me. You know, the invincibility side of things. Maybe if they get away with it once, okay, maybe I'll try it twice. Mm-hmm. And then if they keep that, that could have something to do with it. I think education, we try to, we have several of us have spoke before driver's ed classes, mm-hmm. To get in front of them, talking about some of that, not only just the general safety of the roadway and how to, you know, what to do, but we talk about that stuff as well. I think education is a big portion of that. You also mentioned mental health side of mm-hmm. things. So, you know, there's an addiction aspect to alcohol. And I think that, not everybody probably really understands that as much as, you know, people that are directly involved with it.
Right.
But I think that has something to do with it. You know, if I go out for dinner, and granted, this is me personally, and I wish everybody would do this, but if I go out for dinner and I have a beer or I have two beers, first thing I do is I hand my keys to my wife. Yeah. It's not worth taking that chance, especially not only to yourself or to your family members or to yourself, but you don't know what's going to happen to the other people involved. So I think education is a big part of it. I know Sheriff Becker has talked about the programming in the jail, mm-hmm. you know, different programs. I mean, they have AA, they have, you know, different programs like that, that can help with the addiction side of things as well. As far as driving, you know, eighth offense, OWI, and then, how do they have a driver's license? Honestly, probably 95% of the time, they don't.
Yeah.
Just because you don't have a driver's license doesn't mean you can't operate a vehicle, which is a challenging part. And I would say that when you start getting the higher offense it is, the more likelihood that they don't have a valid driver's license, which is another challenging thing.
I think all great stuff there, Charlie. I think one of the things that you touched on there that is so hopefully helpful with this subject too. So there's going to be people you'll never reach, but I'm talking more about those people that you still there's hope that we can they'll hear us and such. Maybe thinking of others. Maybe thinking, you know, it may just be you in this world or you in that vehicle, and that's all you're thinking about. If we can get them to, even in a drunk mind, to remember, oh, the road isn't just me out there. This isn't bumper cars or anything like that. This is real life. This is something where I'm driving a killing machine. I mean, these vehicles that we have that we're so common and we're so familiar with and everything, they could do some damage. Absolutely. And the idea that we forget this, you know, at times in these moments in life, any chance to maybe catch somebody, maybe help them remember, maybe just one less person out there doing that. Because I don't like necessarily the idea that, oh, well, we got to get rid of this or we got to do this. Like, I don't think there's extremes that need to be made here necessarily, as extreme as this, you know, conversation is and vital as it is. I don't know if it's necessarily reinventing the wheel we need to do. I think that the things you guys have both touched on, especially the education aspect, the more you do that, the more we hopefully hit the younger generation and we raise kids that are not going to do this as likely. You know, and hopefully it's a safer for our roads are safer from it.
Right.
Anything else you wanted to add on this, or we can go to break? Want to go to break? Let's do that. Let's go to break. We'll do that. We'll take our final break of the hour. We'll come back and we'll wrap things up with our friends at the Wood County Sheriff's Department, along with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media here at Morning Magazine's WFHR. Welcome back to Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We're talking with our Wood County Sheriff's Department today. We have Operations Captain Charlie and Patrol Lieutenant Scott with us, along with Taylor and Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. We'll take it right to the top of the hour here, everybody. And I wanted to touch on the CIT program a little bit with you, if you wouldn't mind, Charlie.
Absolutely. This next week, we're starting our 12th class through held right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Everybody in our department for patrol, investigations, administration, everybody has been through that. We're starting to get the majority of our corrections staff through it as well. It's really... this particular program has really touched a good portion of the state. Just for example, this next class, we have members from our department. We have Portage County. We have faculty from Mid-State Technical College, Clark County, Wapaka County, Port Edwards Police Department, Grand Rapids Police Department, Stevens Point Police Department, Plover Police Department, officers from UWSP, Winnebago County Sheriff's Office, Neillsville Police Department, Wisconsin Rapids right here, and Loyal PD. So there is a lot of departments that come to Central Wisconsin for this program. We've had people from agencies as far away as Milwaukee come up. Door County, I think when my class, there was a couple people from Door County. So it's really touching a good portion of the state of Wisconsin. And it's very important. It's put on in conjunction with NAMI, or National Alliance on Mental Illness. And ultimately, the goal for our CIT classes and our training is to reduce arrests and instances where people are struggling with mental health, and to increase the services that we can provide to them.
It's a new day when it comes to this with law enforcement. It's something, again, Sheriff Becker and I have touched on very much. I get a little frustrated when we keep on tacking on things to your guys' job, you know, that maybe necessarily don't really fall under that caliber. But I admire and have a healthy respect for the, there's no complaining, just taking these things on and doing programs like this. How has this program, you think, benefited our area, our community?
I think, and Scott can chime in as well, but I think the relationship between our crisis program through Wood County Human Services and our local law enforcement have really the relationship has improved. Not that it was ever bad, but it continues to grow.
Yeah.
We're able to get individuals that we come across, whether maybe they just need a little help, gas money, and we there's resources out there that we can help with that, or maybe they need something a little more involved, or maybe it's heating issues in the winter. But because of those relationships, we learn different services that can really help the individuals that we come across that may be down on their luck, or they may be having some mental health issues that we can help with.
Well, we forget sometimes that part of the reason you guys chose this profession was to keep the community safe and healthy and that. And it's not just to prevent crimes, but to help people as well.
Right.
And it's nice to have those reminders. It's nice for the community to be reminded of that and everything. Mm-hmm. And actually, I want to piggyback off of that a little bit, too. And that's my term for the day, piggybacking, apparently. I keep using that term. If you have a word bingo out there, everybody, you know, they check that one off. Continuing your education, I mentioned Mid-State earlier, and I was smiling because it doesn't seem to matter who we have in here. Mid-State comes up. The great work that they do over there, whether it's going for a degree or just wanting to continue your education, maybe take some fun classes, that kind of thing. I don't think we touch on this nearly enough with law enforcement. You don't just graduate and then you go into law enforcement and that's it. You're always continuing to take programs and classes and learn more at the job. How much does that like make the job, you know, an everyday kind of, you know, fun thing to be able to do, and fun relatively term, but enjoyable? And how much of that part is like a big part of the job is continuing to learn and take classes or that kind of thing? Is that come up a lot for you guys?
Yeah,
Scott, sorry, I'll start with you, Scott.
Yeah, no problem. We've got a constant changing world, you know, that changes overnight sometimes in front of all of us, keeping up with current trends, new methods, keeping our officers updated with training, their state minimum requirements that each officer has to fulfill in a fiscal period, and even trainings that even maybe have a specific interest to that one individual officer or group of officers, and just to keep their skills sharp and learn new ways of doing things and better ways of doing things, and just to sustain training that they've already went to and refresh things. So yeah, it's definitely a benefit for the officers, benefit for the community, keeping a well-trained officer providing services to them.
Mm.
Yeah, just like a teacher has in service, your doctors will have continuing education. We have, like Scott said, we have continuing education as well. We have to have a minimum of 24 hours. There's certain things that are required that it has to be touched on. Emergency vehicle operations, one of them. Got to have a minimum of 4 hours every 2 years because that's primarily the main thing we're doing on patrol as we're driving around. So we take it a step further. We do evoc twice a year. So ultimately, we're potentially getting up to 16 hours every 2 years for training. In addition to that, obviously, we have firearms instruction and training that we have to maintain. And then we go into CIT, for example. We have advanced sessions of CIT, whether it's dealing with individuals that may have autism, substance abuse issues. There's all sorts of different kind of avenues that we can take to further our education in the CIT area. But without that continuing education or in-service training, we kind of stay stagnant, if you will. Mm-hmm. We're staying right there. And where Scott said, things always are changing.
Yeah, it's a really good note, Scott. Yeah.
Investigation. Take the investigations, for example. There's different techniques. Each, they go to a training one day or 1 week, and then 6 months later, maybe something's completely different. So we're constantly having to update our expertise, our areas of expertise.
I imagine some of the tech, too, some of the equipment you use is going to be updated, is going to be newer, some of that stuff and everything. I don't know. To me, I'm still trying to figure out these things, like these phones that these supercomputers are walking around with. I don't even know how you guys figure out even the dash cam thing or some of that stuff and everything. So it's an interesting thing that I don't think a lot of us think about with law enforcement, that these are skill sets, these are things that you need to know and to be able to be good at the job. And the continuing education aspect of this, I think, is really interesting. It a bit of a reach here, but it reminds me a bit of hairstylists, where they have to keep up with the trends. They have to keep up with the stuff. And again, we just don't associate that with law enforcement very often. But that's a good thing to note, I think, and interesting. Just kind of cool to hear.
Yeah, with regards to the hairstyles, I definitely know what you're talking about.
Likewise.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys being here, especially with that humor. And that's where I wanted to wrap up, you guys. We actually had a fun organic conversation happening there during the break. We are talking about this, and Terry and I touched on it a little bit on the morning show. The humor in law enforcement. Like that, I hadn't thought about it beforehand, but I was just going into the interview today and doing a little homework, and I started thinking about, as I thought, Sheriff Becker might be in, and I always laugh with Sean, like off air, on air, we're always laughing. Even the heavy subjects that we get into, sometimes we end up wrapping up with laughter or something. Mm-hmm. And it's usually him making me laugh. It's my job to make him laugh. It's usually vice versa. And I think about the other people we've had in here and just people that I've met in my day-to-day life, and it seems very rare to run into somebody who doesn't have a good sense of humor in this industry. And I don't think that is a coincidence. I went back to the idea of the old Law & Order episodes of Jerry Orbach going to the theme song with a pun or a one-liner, and they would talk about on that show and many law shows about we're seeing people on their worst day. Humor is one of the only things that gets us through the day or can get you to come back the next day. How important is that to get through the day-to-day? And not just the hard days necessarily, maybe, but the grind. Maybe the days, you know, especially in an area like this when not every day is a car chase or something like that. I'll start with you, Charlie.
Yeah, so as far as humor, not many people have seen some of the things that we've seen. Yeah. And it's not that we're making humor of those particular incidents.
No.
But, you know, like Scott and I, we've been to calls that I wish nobody would ever be on.
Mm-hmm.
But after the fact, like, we know that we can sit down together, and if one of us is maybe having a challenging time getting through something, or if we see something, it's like, yeah, that bothered me. We can sit down and we can talk about it.
Okay.
And because of our relationship and having worked the last however many years together before I came to the Sheriff's Department when I was in Nakusa, we got to know each other very well. And there's just like a lot of people at the department, it's truly a family.
Mm.
And without that humor and being able to, you know, kind of poke and make fun of them, maybe they spilled something and mm-hmm. call them a klutz, or, you know, just we can have that humor. It keeps everything fresh at work and enjoyable. If it's all monotone or it's only about the bad things that we see, I don't think you'd see anybody in that office ever.
Yeah, it's just going to build and build up, I would think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Scott, do you have anything on that?
Just, you know, we have a job to do, but everyone else in the world also has jobs, and other people go through stressful things and do and see things that maybe they're, you know, the average person doesn't. Just because we're officers, everybody's wears a different hat, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even in other jobs outside of law enforcement, and especially in law enforcement, to have that little sense of humor, just everybody processes stress differently. Sometimes the easiest way is maybe some humor after, you know, off the grid, if you will, after the call's over and that type of thing, just to almost get through the day. But even the good days, you know, sometimes just a good, busy, hard day of work, right? Just like everyone else has done before and will do yet. Just some time just to maybe psychologically unwind and mm-hmm. some... Yeah, there's not a lack of humor, I guess, per se, even in
sure. While we individuals that have never done anything like you guys do, we can't necessarily relate to what it is like to be on the job and to take some of those calls that you guys take. One thing that we can relate to is using humor as a healer, or using humor to just get through the moment of the day. And again, it's just one more connection that we have with our officers, one more thing that makes us more like them than not, because they are not just a badge, they are human beings doing these jobs. And I love bringing up finding those connections whenever we can. And man, I really do think it's just funny to me how great the police departments, sheriff's departments are at social media. Yeah, I was joking with you guys that there's people that'll spend millions and millions of dollars on these to pay people to do this stuff. Meanwhile, completely no background whatsoever in that world, and yet you guys like thousands of reposts and all these things. Like it never gets old to me. Never get tired tired of talking with you guys. Thank you so much for the time. Most importantly, thank you for what you're doing for our communities, keeping them safe. You guys stay safe out there. Appreciate the time. And please give Sheriff Becker a hard time for me for stumping me again. This two times now.
Always.
Be safe out there. You guys take care.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Big thank you as well to Taylor and our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Keep up the great work. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll be back with more Morning Magazine right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.